It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, live from the Green Space today. Good morning again, everyone. If you are listening to the Brian Lehrer Show on the radio, you should know that when we're in the Green Space, you can also watch us because we stream live video when we're here. Go to WNYC.org or check out thegreenspace.org. Green has an E at the end of it, thegreenspace.org. Well, it's almost Thanksgiving, which means, among other things, that if you're a college freshman, maybe about to be going home, for the first time since college started. Congratulations, you've almost made it through 1/16th of college. Well, with me now are two college newbies. Yes, they're in their freshman year of being president of their universities. Marvin Krislov is the newly appointed president of Pace University, and Sion Bylock is the newly appointed president of Barnard College. They're here now to talk about their new roles and about campus politics and other issues facing higher education in these multiple cause fraught times. Welcome both of you to WNYC and to the Green Space. Thank you so much for coming. I'm curious, were you both here for our last conversation with Gia Tolentino from The New Yorker? Did you get to hear any of that?
Snippets.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. So I'm going to jump right in the middle, and before we pull back and ask you what's the job of higher education today or what's the job of a university president today, President Bylock, dovetailing on our last conversation, do you want to talk a little bit about what campus has been like in the midst of the Me Too movement at Barnard?
Well, Barnard is a small liberal arts college for women in New York City, associated with Columbia University, and we spend a lot of time thinking about how we promote and help our students advocate for their interests, their rights, how they operate in an environment that is free of fear and hate. And these are important issues to be thinking about right now. We've had lots of conversations on campus. Our relatively new Title IX coordinator, who helps our students and our faculty and staff think about sexual assault and intimidation and other issues, is busy at work. And a lot of what we're doing is educating, talking to students about the fact that we are really committed to a campus where students are able to learn in a really supportive environment, and that is independent of what laws get passed or processes are put in place at the national level.
And President Krislov, what about Pace?
So we have at Pace we have a very welcoming, inclusive community. We have multiple campuses. We have our largest in downtown Manhattan, but we also have campuses in Westchester and Pleasantville and the law school at White Plains. And we too share the concerns about having a community that where people feel comfortable, and that includes regardless of gender or race, ethnicity or sexual orientation. And so there's been a lot of educational efforts. There are student concerns about some of what's happening in the world around them, and those are things that we think should be part of the educational process to talk about those. So we had, for instance, panels about the incident in Charlottesville and talking about that. We've also had activities around domestic violence and domestic violence prevention and what people can do to try to intervene if they see something happening as well.
Do you think that standards have changed on campus, maybe since when either of you went to college, with respect to faculty relationships with students or anything like that? President Bylock?
I think we are in a time where people are thinking a lot more about their roles and what they mean, and it's not just what is very explicit in nature, but also as a cognitive scientist, I know that a lot of the signals we send and power differentials can be implicit in nature. So it's something that we are trying to talk about. Our faculty are very interested in talking about this, and our students are as well, but actually defining what it means to be a student and what it means to be a faculty and where you go when you need a third-party objective voice or someone to talk to. And we're doing this in terms of not only thinking about what our faculty do in the classroom, but also supporting them in the types of processes they put in the classroom. So for example, we're having an inclusive pedagogy workshop for all of our faculty in a few weeks that's really designed to talk about some of what happens in the classroom in a more explicit way than we normally do.
Meaning like what, for example?
You know, how, for example, when you interact with someone who comes from a different lived experience, is the assumptions that you make, whether or not all students coming from different backgrounds feel comfortable voicing their opinion, and how you put together a classroom where different opinions can be heard, and it's not just assumed that you are teaching to one group who comes from maybe a majority view.
And President Chris Love, same question.
Well, I think that things have certainly changed since I went to college. I went to college in the late 70s, early 80s, and I think that our awareness has certainly grown since then. And frankly, it grows every day because what we're doing, and I think it's a wonderful thing for American higher education, is we're welcoming more and more people. For instance, one of the populations that I'm really excited about is students with disabilities. And that's something at Pace that we really embrace, students who might have learning disabilities or cognitive disabilities. And we try to make sure that they're supported and welcomed. And so people from all different backgrounds, as well as international students, that's something that's very important to us, and it enriches the whole educational experience. To do that, though, it does take the work, as Sian has said, and to have honest dialogue and to have people on staff or faculty who help can facilitate those discussions as well.
We're talking, if you're just joining us, to two new college presidents in our area, Sian Bailock, the new president of Barnard College this semester, and Marvin Krizlov, the new president of Pace University. And we can take phone calls for them at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or questions here in the green space, just raise your hand and our producers will come around with microphones. So kind of segueing out of what we were just talking about, the schools you both previously come from are particularly well known in terms of free speech and safe spaces, if on different sides of that. Oberlin, where Professor Krizlov, you were, President Krizlov, was an early adopter of safe space lingo, and students famously criticized the school for an insensitive menu in the cafeteria, saying that calling the Chinese food authentic was offensive, for example. President Bailock, you come from the University of Chicago, where President Robert Zimmer is known for his staunch free speech, anti-safe space stance. I'm curious where both of you come down in terms of balancing freedom of speech with personal safety and safe spaces. President Krizlov?
Well, Brian, I don't want to be disagreeable, but you've got your facts wrong.
Okay.
But I'm here to talk about Pace. Okay. One of the things that we did do at Oberlin, I'm really pleased to say, is we had a diversity of speakers, and we never had to have anyone canceled or anything disrupted to the point of speaking. And I think it is important to have a campus where there are lots of different viewpoints, and that's something that certainly Pace has as well. And what's most important, and one of the, I think sometimes is lost in the all the noise around these high-profile controversial speakers who come to campuses, is that the real discussions, the real dialogue on a daily basis occurs in classrooms. And that's where faculty and students need to be able to talk and listen to each other. And I teach myself, and I will tell you that one of the things that I'm very proud of is that I had people from different points of view come into the classroom. I encourage role-playing in lots of different ways for students to think about different points of views. And that's, to me, at the heart of what an education should be. So, you know, let's not get distracted by the noise out there and really focus on what is actually happening in colleges and universities on a daily basis. And that's very healthy.
Did you want to correct something in particular? We pull together so many facts for a show every day. I'm sure we get something wrong every single day.
You know what? I think the main point is that we have certain values in higher education and at the institutions I've been part of, and let's not go in the past. Let's move forward.
All right.
Okay?
So, President Bailock?
Yeah, I think one of the really important points that often gets lost in the fodder is what we're trying to do here. We're trying to have a dialogue where people with different lived experiences come together to share what they know and what they think to produce better scholarship. And part of that scholarship involves disagreement. That disagreement doesn't have to be in an environment where people are involved in hate or fearful for their existence. You can have really healthy disagreements and be uncomfortable, but produce better scholarship. And as a scholar, I have really benefited from people challenging my views. But the question is, how do you do that in such a way that allows everyone not only to be in the room, but actually to feel like they can speak up? And I'm actually kind of sick of words like safe space and free speech. I think they're so loaded and they mean so many different things to different people. And I'd rather get rid of the jargon and talk about what the issues are. And the issue is that in order to produce excellent knowledge, we need to come together and be able to have different perspectives and put them out there in a way that allows everyone to feel comfortable taking them on and challenging them and move on. And that's what we're focused on at Barnard, is how actually to do that, both inside the classroom and outside.
Anything to add?
I totally agree. And I do think that one of the exciting things about what's happening in American higher education is we are bringing people together from all sorts of different backgrounds, whether it's from different communities. And Sian and I actually come from different places. I grew up in Kentucky. She grew up in California. Now we're in the Big Apple. How exciting for us, which is, you know, the world's greatest melting pot of people. And it's very exciting to have people together, but we have to recognize that they bring different backgrounds and so forth to the discussion, and we want to make sure that people do feel supported. And, you know, that's where the real honest dialogue comes. If people feel comfortable and supported, even if they have a contrary point of view, whether it's a political point of view or other types of point of view.
So, Professor Bylock, what's higher education for in 2017 in general and at Barnard?
You know, I would really talk about Barnard as, if I had to sum it up in two words, it's academic excellence. We are producing knowledge and producing the students, the human capital that are going to go out and change the world. And what we're doing is we are teaching our students to think, to gather data before they're forming opinions, to sometimes actually change their mind, and to be flexible in such a way that they are going to go out and be leaders in the academy, in government, in nonprofits, in industry, and in jobs that we don't actually even know exist today. And I can't think of a more important time to be educating our young women to go out and pursue their passions in this way. And I see Barnard is setting them up to do that, both in the classroom in terms of the curriculum they take, but outside the classroom as well in terms of the internship experiences, the experiences they get with the city of New York as their classroom.
And what about at Payson? Is it any different at a school that's not an Ivy?
Well, Pace has a long history of supporting first-generation immigrant, low-income, working-class students and allowing them to make progress, to strive, to move into the middle class, if you will. And in fact, Chronicle of Higher Education just rated us, based on a Stanford study, the number one private institution in America for what they called upward mobility, that is moving students from working-class income levels to a much more comfortable working class income level. And that's really important. What we do is we give students a foundation of education, but also the skills to make it in professions, whether it's in business, law, health, or computer science. And so there's a combination of real world experiences and the classroom experiences that we provide to our students, and that enables them to succeed.
That ranking, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that you might look at Pace and Barnard and think they're very different, but I think in that way it's something that we really hold in common. Barnard has historically been a place that's educated young women who might not have had other opportunities, and we have really strived in terms of thinking about social mobility, in terms of how to bring people who might come in at a lower socioeconomic status and help them come out with skills to really take on the world. And it's been something where we are ranked fairly highly as well. And it's such an important identity, I think, for how we think about what we're doing to educating our students, and something that is really especially interesting being not just in New York City, but of the city, how we blend those aspects together.
So you both see upward mobility as part of your mission, but tuition and fees By the numbers I have, correct me if I'm wrong, at Pace University New York is just over 62,000 with room and board per year, while Barnard comes in at just over 68,500. And of course, they're growing just about on every campus by thousands a year. How does that dovetail with your mission for upward mobility?
It's a great question. and one we think about a lot. Higher education is, and the way that Barnard does education, is an intensive enterprise. We have lots of faculty at the table, and we want faculty working very intimately and in small class sizes with our students. And what we try and do is ensure that everyone who comes to the table and seems the right fit for Barnard is evaluated in a need-blind manner. So we don't look at need when we do admissions. And we also meet full financial need. And on average now, we actually are meeting financial need and for around half of our student body. And what our goal is to ensure that students come out with as little debt as possible. So our students are coming out now with just around $20,000 in total of debt. And it's not perfect yet, and we're working to raise more money to support our students. But as one parent told me, that she went to Barnard on a full scholarship, and now she's really happy to contribute back so that other students can have those opportunities. And that's part of what we're trying to do here.
And President Krizloff?
Well, making college affordable is absolutely a high priority for us as well. 90% of our students get financial aid, and we work very closely with families to make sure that with a combination of work and loans and straight out aid, that students are able to make it. And of course, what we look at is the investment too, that the students are able to get wonderful jobs. Many of them work during their time at Pace. I'd also mention that your number includes both tuition and room and board. Uh-huh. And so we have a significant number of our students who either live at home or have alternative housing arrangements that don't quite make that high. But it's a high priority for me. And like Sian, I would say that it's something that we need to work on. And we are working on it. And, it is a challenging time, and partly because federal financial aid has not kept pace with inflation as well. And so that's something that we're concerned about as well.
And with the new president of Pace University, Marvin Krizloff, and the new president of Barnard College, Sian Bylock, we have people here in the green space with questions, and our phones are open at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Question here in the green space. Hi.
Yes. Have you had an opportunity to look at what the impact will be if the tax bill is actually passed, which, as I understand it, contemplates that students will no longer be able to deduct interest on their loans, and graduate students will have their what was considered free tuition taxed. What impact will that have?
Professor President Krizloff, since you worked for the federal government in the Clinton Labor Department, you can answer that first.
Well, we have a lot of concerns about the tax bill. I was just in Washington and actually talked to Leader Schumer and staff of Senator Gillibrand, and my colleagues and I also talked to some of the New York House representatives, and we did talk about these. You haven't mentioned, of course, the charitable deductions, which is something that we care about as well. I think we've made it clear that education should be a really high priority, not only because we run institutions that depend on it, but also for the future of the country. And there's a lot of concern, at least in my circles, about the kind of inequality that's growing in this country, and education is the best way to move people up the ladder. So it's very important that people make their concerns clear, and we certainly are doing that.
Yeah, and we have communicated with our delegates as well and our representatives, and there are many concerning aspects to what's happening in terms of the tax bill. And I think, more important than even the specifics for me is that it sends a real signal about the value of education and graduate education, and which, is at the heart of a lot of what our ability to produce as a country is about, our ability to educate our students and make discoveries and do research in a way that allows us to lead.
Let's take another question here in the green space. Over there, hi.
Hi, First, I need to say, President Krisloff, our daughter applied to PACE, so we're waiting to hear, and I'd like to speak to you.
Let's talk afterwards.
Yes. Gotcha. So we are looking at those numbers, $50,000, $60,000 a year not sleeping at night. And one of the things that concerns us in addition to that is a lot of classrooms are now taking place online, even students who are going to Barnard, PACE, state schools. And I think all of us benefited from a generation ago of having far more one-on-one time with professors, either smaller classrooms or breakouts. So we don't want to spend $60,000 a year for our daughter to sit in front of a screen and take a class. I'd like to know how both of you are balancing the positives of technology with the negatives that make it a more, you know, in some ways, sterile environment when we're sending our kids off to these institutions.
Well, let me just say, first of all, that I really hope your child comes to PACE. It's a wonderful place, and the students are so kind and caring and supportive of each other, and so are the faculty and students. I've really fallen in love with the place. So anyway, I hope that all works out for you. There are choices. Students have choices. So students don't have to take online classes. It's a way sometimes for them to take classes, particularly, for instance, in our winter session when we don't have a lot of classes in January. And it allows them to stay on track in some points. I mean, our goal is to have students graduate in 4 years or less. And so that's really important. And that's a way of keeping the cost down and allowing people to do the kinds of things, both jobs and classroom experiences. There's also some very pedagogically important things that can be gained by using technology. And so, for instance, I just spent some time with a faculty who had done an experiment involving what's called the flip classroom, where there is content that is delivered via online, but then the classroom is spent actually talking. And so it's the best of all worlds. It's actually pretty expensive because you've got both the technology and the full-time faculty member, but that's a very positive thing. So, you know, we're all trying to find our way how to use technology, how to make it work for people, and to produce the best possible education. But the bottom line is your child will have choices about the kinds of classes she wants to take.
And I would say that Barnard's in a little bit of a different position. We're a residential college model, and actually we really prioritize that faculty-student interaction. So our faculty are actually advisors for our students, which doesn't happen at a lot of institutions where there's oftentimes an advising staff that's separate. But I think that technology can be a fantastic addition to what happens across the curriculum if it's used in the right way. And one of the things that we're thinking about at Barnard is how to have students think technologically across all of the disciplines, so not just in computer science, but in art history as well. And how do we approach questions, especially with a liberal arts background, about all of the types of technological advances that are going on? So questions about data and ethics and privacy. Those mm-hmm. questions beg for philosophical points of view. They beg for sociological points of view. We're really at an advantage to think about some of those questions in really interesting ways. So how do we do that as an institution?
And we have another question over here. Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity and for the wonderful show. I applaud both of you for what you're doing for the young upcoming professionals. And I was wondering if you can share your thoughts in how we push the education to the educating, especially in this sexual harassment, to predators, to pedophile, from Clarence Thomas to Roy Moore. How do we push the education to the younger generation, the really young people, that regardless of their gender? There is, just like what you said before, that there is an implicit signal that is common to all this behavior that you send out that's dominating. So how do we teach the young generation that not only from defending themselves, how to react to this scenario and how to not do that themselves?
President Bylock, want to go first on that?
Well, I'm in my research a big advocate for starting really young in terms of teaching everything from implicit stereotypes about girls and their ability to succeed in math to some of the subjects that you mentioned. And I think, you know, we can't wait until high school or college to be talking about these issues. And this is true both for what's happening in a social context, but also in academic context as well. And we can't also think that it's only the purview of schooling. We also have to equip parents to be able to talk to their students and to have these conversations. And they've got to start much younger and be reinforced along the way.
Let me give you something that's breaking news, the Green Space audience was probably wondering, why is he looking at his phone in the middle of the show? Because, of course, doing what I do for a living, I'm set up to get all these news alerts. And one of them that just came across while we were on the air is, let's see, this is the CNN version. The Justice Department finds fault with Harvard's affirmative action policies following allegations involving Asian Americans. Now, Justice Department finds fault. That's not a court ruling. That means the Trump administration is going to pursue that. How does that affect you at Barnard? How do you deal with the potential Asian American, quote, overrepresentation issue at Barnard?
We look at all students holistically, and we are, as I said, need blind, and we're looking for students that we really think have the potential to succeed at Barnard, and we do that regardless of where their background is, and where they identify in that way. And I think, you know, the goal is to build the best generation of classes of individuals, and we go at it in a very holistic approach. So I don't see it affecting how we are thinking about how we're admitting our students. We look across the spectrum for young women who really will be special and be able to succeed in our environment, and we encourage them to come to campus.
Let's end on kind of a personal note. If maybe many of your students or other students or parents of other students are listening right now, what's one piece of advice, knowing everything that you know now, that you would give to your undergraduate self?
I would say that I give two pieces of advice because I'm an academic, so I like to give more than I'm allotted. but I would say two things. One, it's okay to fail, and you're going to fail. And there's, you know, the strive for perfectionism is not the way to go. And the second is to ask for advice and help. I rely on my faculty, on my senior staff, on the students, on my alumni, on my staff, on my trustees for input and advice. And I think that leads to collective action, which is more impactful than going it alone.
So I have heard that the single most important thing for predicting success in college is that a student develops relationships, and particularly relationships with someone who might be a mentor. And that could be an older student, but preferably someone who is a staff member or a faculty member. And I think that sometimes students think that they're bothering someone or that they're not doing what they should do. And what they don't understand is that the reason we're here is for them. The reason we have jobs and we take pride in what we do is because we care about them and their future. So if they come and see us, if they talk with us, if they develop relationships, we're actually very happy because we're doing our job and we believe in them. So I would just say, take advantage of us.
Marvin Krislov is the new president of Pace University as of this semester. Sion Bylock is the new president of Barnard College. Please thank them both for coming to the Green Space. Thank you so much. Good luck in college.